Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Veranda Learning Solutions Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Go India Advisors LLP. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Soumya from Go India Advisors LLP. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Q1 FY26 earnings con call of Veranda Learning Solutions Limited. We have on call with us Mr. Suresh Kalpathy, the Chairman and Executive Director, Mr. Aditya Malik, the Chief Operating Officer, and Mr. Mohsin Khan, the Chief Financial Officer. We must remind you that the discussion on today's call may include certain forward-looking statements and must be therefore viewed in conjunction with the risk pertaining to the business. I now request the management to take us through the quarter gone by. Post that, we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure to welcome you all to Veranda Learning Solutions Q1 FY26 earnings call. As we begin a new financial year, I want to take a step back and reflect on the transformational journey that Veranda has undertaken over the past few quarters. FY25, the year gone by, was a very defining year for the company, not just in terms of performance, but more so in how we reshaped the Veranda platform for sustainable and long-term growth. Just want to take a moment and thank you all for the consistent support in this journey. By now, many of you might be knowing the Veranda 2.0 journey that has already begun. We started with acquiring profitable brands across all our segments to monetizing those assets and cross-selling synergies to now deleveraging our balance sheet. It's been a pretty significant journey. Just to recollect quickly, as a part of our restructuring and unbundling businesses, we discussed the process strategies followed and the growth outlook in detail in the virtual analyst meet held on 28th of July, hosted by Go India Advisors. So we have successfully completed two landmark strategic milestones: the 357 crore maiden QIP, which helped us bring in marquee institutional investors and at the same time significantly strengthened our balance sheet; the demerger of our high-growth commerce vertical, which will be almost debt-free, independently listed entity. These moves were not just financial in nature. They were strategic in how they set the stage for Veranda 2.0, our next phase of execution. The central idea behind Veranda 2.0 is simply unbundling, creating focused verticals, giving them independent strategies and capital access, and unlocking significant synergies across the platform without any operational overlap. With this, our core business, now consisting of our four pillars: academic, government aspect, vocational, and commerce vertical, has a much clearer mandate to drive profitable growth, operate with financial prudence, and deliver value by leveraging our shared ecosystem. This is not just about cutting costs or paying down debt. It's about creating sharper execution playbooks in each of our business lines. From an operational standpoint, I think I'm proud to say we have made tangible progress during this quarter. Now, I'll sort of hand it over to Aditya to walk you through each one of our business units. Aditya?
Yeah, thank you, Suresh. Good afternoon, all. We'll walk you through each of our four verticals and their performance for the quarter. In academics, which is our K-12 vertical, we are seeing a solid traction. Over 5,400 students have been onboarded in the new academic year. We have launched integrated courses with NEET and JEE with accelerated programs, a stronger marketing engine a full rollout of LMS as well as the technology platform across schools and multiple centers. We have also taken important steps in teacher training, principal appointments to ensure delivery quality scales with growth. In our vocational vertical and vocational business, it continues to evolve into a multi-channel, globally scalable unit. Apart from our very strong B2C business, we have 25 plus active enterprise accounts, including top names like Deloitte and PwC. And not only that, these are very strongly outcome-focused programs, and we have delivered more than 150 placements in this quarter alone. In our government test prep business, through election-related, election-related disruptions temporarily softened the numbers, we maintained strong engagement through mock tests, success meets, and social campaigns. The coming quarters are expected to be high activity, with four major exams lined up and new students' cohorts activated. Last but not the least, our commerce vertical. This has been our exceptional segment in terms of profitability and operationality. We have plans to expand this segment, not just regionally, but extending full rollout of courses and formats at existing centers, as well as coupled with synergies with JK Shah classes, BB Virtual, and Navkar in their own individual domains. All these achievements were delivered while we also continued executing on back-end efficiencies, integrating support functions across verticals, streamlining our sales and marketing engine, and setting up centralized framework for delivery, assessment, and content management. I hand it over back to Suresh for taking us through what is next for Veranda.
Thanks, Aditya. So what comes next? I think we are now shifting gears into an execution-focused growth with a very sharp eye on profitability and free cash flow. Internal strategy roadmap focuses on a few key aspects that we think will take us forward in the next set of years. Deleveraging the remaining 195 crores of debt in a non-commerce vertical through operational accruals. Accelerating our monetization across B2B partnerships, global online offerings, and high-ticket professional programs. And last is institutional synergies using cross-selling, sharing of leads across platforms, and technology integration to reduce the acquisition costs and improve the learner's long-term value. These are not really one-time activities. This is the fabric on which Veranda 2.2 is being designed and will be used to scale. I'll sort of just quickly request Mohsin, the Chief Financial Officer, to walk you through the financial performance in more detail, including our revenue, EBITDA, margin movements, and the broad capital structure. Mohsin?
Yeah. Thanks, Prasad. Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. And thanks for joining. We are pleased to report a solid start to FY26, marked by strong revenue growth and a sharp improvement in profitability as such. Consolidated revenue grew 17% year-on-year to 139 crores, driven by broad-based growth across the segments. EBITDA nearly doubled year-on-year to 55 crores, and we continue our profitable trajectory with a net profit of 6 crores, up 123% year-on-year, reaffirming our shift to sustainable performance going forward. Coming to balance sheet, we had a 510 crores debt as on March 25. We were able to claim by raising a QIP funds of 356.7 crores. Now we carry a debt of 195 crores, which we are planning to repay through our operational accruals, and no additional debt will be planned. Going forward, we remain focused on strengthening operating leverage, capital efficiency, and margin expansion while executing on Veranda 2.0 strategy as explained by Suresh and Aditya. Thank you, and I look forward to your questions. And Soumya, you can take it from here.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mr. Darshil Pandya from Fintrust Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, can you, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon, sir. Sir, first question would be, what will be the interest cost for this fiscal, as you know, we have substantially been, you know, brought down the debt?
So,
Moshe?
I'll take up this, sir. So, the balance debt for the finance cost for the next three quarters will be 18 crores, sir.
18 per quarter, you're saying?
No, for a full year.
For full year, it will be 18 crores.
Yeah.
Okay. And the second question would be on the academic segment side. So, you know, as we see that, you know, academic segment is doing pretty good. So just wanted to understand, can you break down how the business model is working here? And also, where do we stand on making it asset light? Because, you know, kind of in January, we had mentioned about, you know, making it some asset light. So just wanted your thoughts and to understand the unit economics of this.
I'll take that one, Aditya. So from a, you know, going forward, as we had shared in the call earlier, we are in talks with couple of schools to take them over in an asset-light model. From an asset-light model perspective, we mean that the properties, etc., will remain with the respective owners. They will take over the management of the school.
Management.
So from your question perspective, when are we going to do it and where are we? I think in the financial year, we are expecting to at least do a couple of them so that we are able to see the results of them coming in the next financial year as the next academic year starts.
Correct. So, and as of now, how many schools and colleges are operational, or if any, are operational right now?
So, in academic vertical, we have schools only. The colleges, which are under the brand Tapasya College of Commerce and Management, comes under our commerce vertical. So, among schools, we have 6 schools operational under the academic vertical.
All right. Thank you. I'll get back in the queue. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Mr. Sravan from Sincere Syndication. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir. Please go on.
Yes. So, I'm new to the company. Could you kindly explain me as to what the Veranda 2.0 strategy is?
Let me take this. This is Suresh.
Yes.
So the first part of the strategy was really to assemble together profitable brands with pedigree, which will go from K-12 all the way to academics, to masters, to doctoral programs. That was really Veranda 1.2, largely funded through debt and some amount of equity that we raised a couple of times, one through the IPO and subsequently through an offer that we made. Veranda 2.0 strategy really focuses on 4 key pillars into which these acquisitions have been quite carefully made. The first is the academic that Aditya just spoke about, which is our K-12 segment, consisting of CBSE and Cambridge International Schools that we manage. The government vertical, which is largely one of the big boys in the South around the brand of Race and Talent. The third is our commerce vertical, led by Professor J.K. Shah himself, consisting of, again, both the biggest in both online and offline brands, apart from colleges and junior colleges, where we take kids through 11th and 12th of commerce and through BCom through college. And the last is our occasional, where we provide cutting-edge upskilling platforms, both in colleges and for working professionals, combined with certificates, degrees, or diplomas. So 1.0 was acquisition with some leverage and equity. The second one was aggregating this into the 4 pillars as an interim step to our Veranda 2.0 strategy, where we are now starting to unbundle. So the first unbundling as part of 2.0 is our commerce vertical, which would be vertically split through a scheme that is expected to be filed shortly, which will list as a separate entity. And as we have sort of projected, expected not only to grow its margins going forward significantly from potentially an EBITDA of 140 crores to a possible 500 crores of EBITDA by FY30 under the leadership of Professor J.K. Shah himself. That's the first unbundling. So the scheme will allow for existing shareholders of Veranda, for every one share they have, they will have one share in the new vertical, internally called J.K. Shah Commerce Education Limited, which would predominantly be a mirror shareholding once the approval for the demerger is done. The non-commerce business is expected to grow strongly across K-12, again in an asset-like fashion. So we don't expect to buy large assets, whether through dilution or additional debt, the government vertical and our occasional training platform. The initial step will be to grow them significantly to take care of the rest of the debt in the non-commerce vehicle, all coming from internal accruals, and then to establish the additional pillars as significant ones in their own strength in the market. So all of it we want to achieve in Veranda 2.0 through no further dilution, no further leverage. So the first step has been taken, not just to unbundle, but also significantly deleverage the balance sheet. This journey will continue, and as we continue, we'll continue to create those unbundling and value creation for existing shareholders from the other three pillars. So that's really the 2.0 strategy. Started rolling out early part of this year. Currently it's under execution, and hopefully we'll deliver significant value through 2.0.
Great. Any timeline on when would you, when you see 2.0 to bear fruit? Any timeline on that?
Mohsin, you want to go through the timeline for the demerger and listing?
Yes, sir. So we'll be filing the scheme by September 1st week, and the expected date to complete it by 8 months is the projected timeline given by our advisors, which will be by March, April 1st or May, we should be able to list the company on the NSE and BSE.
I think one of the advantages that we wanted to create for ourselves is to create a significantly sharper focus as probably the leader in the commerce space, with a projected EBITDA for this year, which is expected to be over 140 crore. And our guidance and projection seems to be intact as we speak. We probably would be overachieving it a bit, I would think. Profitable significantly. In the last exams, we had over 140 ranks. Close to 90% of the ranks in India are coming from our stable in the commerce space. And third is probably with no competitor in this space. But I think a couple of points which I keep emphasizing, which I want to sort of mention on this call, and in answer to your question in terms of unbundling of value. We think it's a significant unbundling because as the Indian economy has changed over the last 40, 50 years, going from a top 50 to a top 5 economy, the GDP has moved quite a bit away from manufacturing to services. And today we are seeing a far, far more robust financial services market in India. The second one is the cost arbitrage is now driving growth of very large GCCs, which are predominantly doing the back office work for Western English-speaking countries in India, whether it is for tax filing or assisting in audit, a lot of that work is happening from India. From projections from some of our national bodies, they expect a shortfall of a million students that are going to be required with certain level of professional qualification over the next 5 years. And we think with J.K. Shah Classes and J.K. Shah Commerce Education Limited, I don't think anybody is placed well to be able to not just meet this expectation of the country, but create for ourselves a very, very large niche in this space. So while there are players in the medical and engineering, test prep and education, I think by far we are the leaders in commerce education. And I think with the change and competition of the GDP, the time has come for this to take its rightful place. I think as potentially the biggest leader of the commerce segment. So we expect each of our unbundling in very real time to not just generate some value, but generate significant value by taking up full position in each of the respective markets.
Yes, sir. Thank you. My last question would be on the guidance. Do you have any guidance for FY26, sir?
I'll take it. Hi. Yes. So since I will say first that on the Q1 we started at very good numbers, so and we're expecting it to continue. And the projected guidance for the FY26 is like revenue at 660 crores across commerce and non-commerce, with the EBITDA target of reported EBITDA of 242 crores, around that much, and PBT of 100 crores and PAT of 80 to 85 crores. So this is the guidance which we're expecting for the current year to be reaching that.
And you're on track to achieve it?
Yeah, on track in achieving it with the current numbers speaks that this guidance for the Q1, which can be projected. Even though we'll be having Q2 a good season, but these numbers are reachable numbers. So in the major numbers, commerce is a major contributor for the guidance, with 340 crores on the top line and with EBITDA of 170 crores and a PAT of 70 crores in the numbers projected for the guidance.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. This is a reminder for the participants. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. We request the participants to please limit your questions to two per participants. If you have any follow-up questions, we would request you to rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mr. Henil Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead, sir.
So thank you for the opportunity and hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
So I actually would request some more clarity on the non-commerce vertical. So if you see most in the Q1, most of the EBIT actually comes from the commerce vertical. In the non-commerce vertical, if you could explain when we've got about 195 crores of debt, how will we be servicing it through the current revenues and the current EBITDA? And also if you could also explain the seasonality of the revenues for the vocational and the government respective vertical.
Mohsin, you want to take the first part and explain the EBITDA for the non-commerce space?
Yeah. So the balance set in the books is 190 crores, where the promoter debt is a 70 crores out of that. And the balance comes from the NCDs which we are having. So the first year of the project and numbers will be servicing the interest coupon, for which the internal accruals will be sufficient. And the, as the ISA was saying that in the main school segment, we wanted to add a school and college schools in that school segment. We are projecting to add another 5 to 6 schools, which can bring it EBITDA above of 10 to 15 crores in the school segment. So which will help us in repaying the balance after the internal growth. This is on the first point.
At this point, just on the academic part, as you said, you want to add 5 or 6 more schools. So we have currently 6 schools. So if you could also give some clarity on what is the current occupancy of these schools, because as I know, Mr. Kalpati had said that you target the schools at about low occupancy, about 30%, 40%, barely break-even kind of, and you try to get the occupancy to 60-70%, that's about a 2-year, 3-year cycle. So now current school, which is about 5 to 6 schools, where are we at the occupancy part? And the new schools that you're planning to acquire, where is that on the occupancy part? If you could just give more information there also.
Yeah. So,
Mohsin, let me take it. As far as the existing schools are concerned, CBSE and the international schools are concerned, we currently are running at an occupancy of over 85%, because these are schools that we have acquired close to 2 years ago. So we have been able to work these occupancies significantly higher. Also, these acquisitions form the platform on which we are now going to build the K-12 segment. I will sort of just go a step back and look at the debt and what type of EBITDA we have in the non-commerce space. So the non-commerce space is expected to deliver an EBITDA of over 60 crores for FY26. So from a debt to overall EBITDA perspective, we are sort of there at about 3.2 times. Also, the debt that we had taken from Assertis, a significant part of which got closed now, the balance debt of about 120 crores, apart from the 70 crores of promoter debt, which is the total 190 crores, the 120 crores is currently running at an interest coupon of just over 17%. So at the end of the make-whole period in March 26, we expect to also refinance this loan with a significantly lower coupon. And given that the debt has significantly come down and there are a couple of land and building assets which are owned by the company of value close to 100 crores, we expect to be able to get it at a coupon, if not single digit, extremely low double digit. So that is also expected to bring not just the interest burden down, but makes it significantly easy for the company to deleverage from just its operational cash flows. On the occasional front, which is predominantly upskilling both online and offline for college students and working professionals, I think we are restructuring, and I'll ask Aditya to mention a few words, type of restructuring that we are doing, which is expected to significantly jump the EBITDA in the coming year. Aditya?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Suresh. So in vocational segment, one of the key things what we are working on is on operational efficiency. So one, obviously we are combining the teams from a sales and marketing, operations and delivery perspective, which are already started to give some efficiencies across the entities in the vocational segment. Second, we have rejigged the product and courses portfolio and moving from very low high ARPU courses to a middle and a significantly higher ARPU courses, which will result in a significant profitability. Lastly, just wanted to add one point. By nature of that business, we always carry some amount of unrecognized revenue as per accounting norms, like costs are already taken care of in the financials you are seeing, but the subsequent revenue of those will come in subsequent months. And that also is directly, you know, kind of positively hit our EBITDA. So that's why we are confident that we will meet the numbers going forward on that one as well.
I think just to sum up, while FY26, we expect in the non-commerce vertical that debt to EBITDA to be closer to 3, by end of FY27, we should be pretty close or a bit less than 2 times EBITDA. So the non-commerce vertical is expected to also grow quite significantly going forward, leveraging on its three pillars of academic, government, experts, and educational. I'll probably just, you know, give a few words on the seasonality that you mentioned in the business. As far as commerce is concerned, it's got a lot more evened out in the last year and a half, where we moved from a 2-exam cycle to a 3-exam cycle for all the CA programs. So to an extent, it has smoothened out any peaks and troughs and seasonality in that business. As far as government test prep is concerned, it's largely driven by notifications that come. And we are a very strong player in the South. So currently, we are having a great quarter in Q2 because the notification just came out in Tamil Nadu. And of course, we are strong in Tamil Nadu, Karnataka, and Kerala, where we expect the government test prep to be largely driven by notifications. And of course, in the occasional space, it's a probably a year-round sort of business, but you see a bit of a slack in Q3. You see a very strong Q4 and Q1. And that's the nature of the business. Also, because from our online training upskilling program under the brand of EduReka, we do have quite a bit of presence of our students, especially in the B2C segment in the US and European markets. So Q3, as you know, has lots of holidays, Christmas, New Year, and all of that. tends to be a bit of a slow one for an online upskilling platform. As far as Sixth Wave, which works with college students as part of the vocational space, it peaks twice a year, so two quarters are big. The other two quarters are reasonably good because our programs run throughout the year. Though our collection cycle happens two or three times, the revenue recognition part happens throughout the year as far as the college is open and working. So probably 10 months in a year, we are billing on a pretty steady state basis in Sixth Wave. So overall, EBITDA for the non-commerce expected to be over 60 for this year and would show a strong growth next year. As I mentioned, we expect the debt to EBITDA to go down from a 3 to a 2, going from 26 to 27. This is predominantly the non-commerce space.
If I may just squeeze a last question. So on the vocational part, what will be the split between the enterprise and your direct to customers?
I'll take that one. So the enterprise as of now in the whole vocational segment would be about, if we count enterprise as pure corporate, because Sixth Wave also works with colleges, which is institutional business or semi-corporate, we can call it. So if we keep institutional business out, it would be about 85-15. But if we include institutional business, it will be almost about 60-40. 60 as B2C and 40% as institutional and corporate.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir. I'll fall back to the team.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sahil Bohara from Alpha Alternatives. Please go ahead, sir.
So you have stated 195 crore debt remains post QIB and demerger. So can you give me a breakdown of the timeline for repayment and whether internal accruals are sufficient in higher capex year?
Moshe?
Yes, sir. Please.
Hello?
So, yeah, go ahead.
So the 125 crores, that is between the two things, Sahil. So 125 crores of bearing debentures which are there in the effective credit, and the balance debt is from the promoters. So promoters debt is there, will be paying as per the requirements in the company. And the debt from the bearing is as per the schedule. So where we have still 4 year tenure to repay the debt. So we have a time to pay the debt, 4 years, as per the schedule.
Okay, and the internal accruals are sufficient in high capex year?
Yes.
I think a couple of points to add to what Mohsin said. The asset is debt, as I mentioned earlier in the call, is currently running at about 17.2%. The acquisition debt, we had to take debt from special purpose vehicles, so it was a high cost debt. The make whole period ends by March 26, so we expect to refinance this loan with a much, much cheaper loan. As I mentioned, if not single digits, but very, very low double digit coupon rates. Given that the company has land and building assets which it owns, which came as part of our earlier K-12 business acquisition of about 100 crore, we expect to be able to get very favorable rates. Given this and the growth that we expect in non-commerce, as I mentioned, we expect that debt to EBITDA to come down significantly, and which essentially means we expect to close this debt just from internal accrual, no new additional borrowings, no equity dilution.
Okay. Okay. Also, one more question. Given the leaner balance sheet post demerger and improved cash flow, so what is the target ROC for FY26 and beyond?
Austin, you want to take it?
ROCE you are saying, Sahil?
Yeah, ROCE.
So ROCE is currently stands at 13% for the full segment and is expected to grow to 35% in the FY30 as we progress.
Okay. Okay. Yes, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Athar Sayed from HF Capital Venture. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Sir, you're audible, but there's a lot of disturbance at your end.
Oh, okay. So, my first question is, last time you said in our con call
the sales headwinds in a non-commerce vertical. So can you please explain which are these headwinds which you are facing last time and now you are facing these headwinds or not?
Mohsin,
there's a lot
do
of
you understand the question?
No, sir. There's a lot of disturbance
sound. Yeah. Mr. Rathar, could you come again? And please use your headset, please. There's a lot of disturbance at your end.
Hello. Now am I audible?
There's a lot of disturbance at your end, in your background. Hello. Are we connected, Mr. Rathar?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, sir. Maybe you could join the queue again, sir.
Hello. Yes, yes. Now am I think there's no disturbance. Now my first question is related to last time, sir, you said you face a lot of headwinds in a non-commerce vertical. So can you please explain these headwinds and what are these headwinds like? We are still facing these headwinds or not?
Okay.
You're not understand.
So just to repeat from what I understood, I think he was asking, saying that in one of our previous calls we had mentioned that we were having some headwinds in the occasional part of the business, in the non-commerce.
Yeah,
business.
Yeah.
And, wanting to understand as to what we are doing about it and if those headwinds have gone. So I'll talk of a couple of them. Which we had highlighted the last time. I think the first was relating to the changes that are happening, especially with AI coming. So as Aditya mentioned, we are making quite a bit of change in our occasional space. In our product portfolio, we are dropping a few of the categories. We are strengthening AI, DevOps, and a couple of others and going very deep in those categories, where we offer masterclass type of programs, certifications, degrees, diplomas in conjunction with very reputed universities and our own certification programs at a lower price point. That's the first change we made, and I think that is already showing very promising results in bit of a Q1, and you will see that in Q2. The second one was in our higher ed business, where basis the revenue recognition and the long-term programs we run, typically 1 or 2 year type of degree and diploma programs that we run in higher ed, the customer acquisition cost is upfront and it is charged to our P&L in the quarter in which the student is onboarded, whereas the revenue gets recognized over 1 or 2 years. So that caused a certain disparity and hence had a negative EBITDA margin from our higher ed business. Currently, as we speak, we have matured the business enough. So the revenue recognition of past student acquisitions are starting to reflect, and we expect the higher ed business also to be EBITDA positive going forward. Already in Q1, we expect it to continue for the rest of the year. From a cash flow perspective, the higher ed business turned cash flow positive even last year, and we expect that trend to strongly continue. I think with the change we are making in our product portfolio, with a lot of focus on AI, ML, DevOps, and a couple of categories in which we are driving very deep, we have also prudently pruned down on other categories which have gotten impacted because of the advancements in AI, and that is starting to show strong results. Yes, as you mentioned, we had some headwinds. We had gone through them, closed out, restructured during Q4. Q1 already showing results. You will see a much stronger results when we report our Q2 numbers.
And my second question is about retention of faculties right off in this business. So how we are retaining our faculties and teachers in this business? Can you please explain about it?
Aditya, could you pick up the question? Could you answer if you have understood the question?
Just to clarify, is it for retention of faculty? That's what you mentioned, right? Retention of faculty?
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Okay. In our case, across all our businesses, first of all, in certain cases, we have our faculties on our rolls. In certain cases, we have a long-term contract with the faculty, which have been continuing for many years. Having said that, what is happening is, per se, in none of our businesses, the dependence of the businesses on the strong or a hero faculty, as it is called. So we have de-risked the business because our individual brand, whether it is JK Shah classes in commerce or Navkar or in Tapasya College of Commerce in commerce side or race in test prep, people come to our classes not to get taught by a particular faculty, but to be taught by a particular institution so that they are able to get learning, because that's how they have been consistently structured across all our verticals. Having said that, all these brands, as Suresh described at the opening of the call, these are legacy brands whom Veranda has acquired as part of our, aggregating the key brands. These brands are 20, 30, 40 years old and have been working in the industry for long. So that the relationship and the contracts with the faculty have sustained over a period of time and will continue to sustain. Having said that, the basic hygiene in terms of ensuring the right compensation, ensuring the right incentives, ensuring the right working environment, like most of the professional companies, is being provided to each of these faculties and across all our companies.
So I think in short, just to sum up, while we have ensured that across all our training programs, there is a significant de-emphasis of what the industry parlance calls as a star faculty, in all our businesses, the faculty is the institution, whether it is JK Shah classes in commerce or RAISE in government test prep or, for that matter, Eduveka in software. It is the institution, our pedagogy, our methodology, our content, which is really the star. So the emphasis is clearly away from star faculties. Having said that, I think we pay one of the best industry compensation, and combined with that, the stock option that we give to all our faculties has ensured that while we have said we are independent of star faculty, the company depends intimately on the quality that our faculty deliver, and we ensure they are compensated and incentivized as best of industry standards.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Participants, we request you to please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Mr. Dipesh from Manya Finance. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Okay. Is there a plan to raise equity or take on any structured debt in the non-commerce vertical post the demerger?
The only thing that we are currently looking at is to refinance the high-cost debt that we had taken from Assertis, a part of which in the commerce vertical got closed. The balance is being carried in the non-commerce vertical. As I had mentioned earlier in the call, it's at a coupon of about 17.2%. We expect to refinance this by March when the makeover period gets over. And given the strong land and building asset that's already owned by the company, we expect to be able to get a high single-digit coupon or a very low double-digit coupon debt. But that will be a refinancing of the current debt with a low-cost debt. But outside of that, we are really not looking at any other form of structured debt or equity to be able to deleverage the non-commerce vertical and make it debt-free, except to rely on our internal accrual to pare down the debt.
Okay, coming to that refinance part only, just wanted to know, when was this last refinancing of 17.2% done, and does the promoter debt also hold the same coupon rate?
Mohsin, you want to take it?
Yeah. Yeah. So the last debt was taken during the March 24, on the April 24 period, where there was we acquired by UNDS for the fund was acquired at Tapasya Education Institution Private Limited and to refinance the existing loans which are available at that point of time. And promoted debt, which is there in the books, is at 61.86 crores, for which the rate is kept at 9.25, which is the market rate, not the higher rate. It's kept at nominal rate.
So what is the logic of having such a high debt on the books when we are, I mean, when the company's ROE itself is always negative?
See, well, I think Suresh was saying that considering that acquisition financings are not done by the more normal nationalized banks or any bank, so we have to go to PE, CIFs and vehicles, where then will be the expectations around 17, like more than 15% to 22. And that was the whole reason. And as you said, and also the acquisitions which were done earlier, it's not entirely on debt. There was a part of debt and part of equity being raised at every stage of the acquisition being planned. From the day one when we started this journey and Veranda 1.0, every type of acquisitions were made part of debt and equity, so that there is a benefit of leverage and the equity. And as a 2.0 strategy, now the unbundling is happening and we are taking equity to close down the debt and unlock the value from the organic growth. That's the plan. And we are strict to this plan.
Completely understand that, sir. But point is, you were adding something. I'll wait.
Yeah. So I think first is 17.2% is an astronomically high cost of debt. There's absolutely no denying it. I think the only reason we had taken that debt was because the number of vehicles that can finance an acquisition are fairly limited. So we had to go to organization structured debt that can finance acquisition. At the same time, we were very clear when we took it that we did not want to run it through the entire life of that loan, which typically is for 5-6 years. The idea was to complete these acquisitions, demonstrate synergy and value, and then raise equity to close it as we get closer to that make-whole period. In this case, the make-whole period is about 2 years. So by March 26th, all of the loan, which is now sitting outside of the 310 crores of principal which we closed, the balance debt will also get refinanced the moment we hit March 26 to a much lower cost debt. So it is a high cost debt. We had to go to a structured finance because we were acquiring businesses.
Can I come in? Okay. Whatever debt which we have closed because of the QIP, what is the cost of that debt?
Mostly
it's
same.
17.23. It's 17.23. Yes.
Okay.
The reason we closed high cost debt, yes. The whole debt QIP went for closing debt.
I just hope that, 2.0 we'll be having a, better debt position. And I mean, at a lower cost. Okay. I also saw in the investor presentation that was uploaded on 28th July. If I can just sneak in this question, that's it. That was uploaded on 28th of July. In the commerce vertical segment, there was zero debt. But still, I see some deferred items in the balance sheet. Can you explain on that?
Yeah, I think we explained that same call if you have attended that call. So this was the despite we acquired the companies like BB, Tapasya, we have a residual stake which need to be bought from the other founders, which will be bought in the respective areas where we have agreed with them. Like, for example, Tapasya in FY28 and BB in FY30. So, as per Ind AS, we have to recognize the liability as on the date of books, so what we will be paying for the balance date. That's what you are seeing, 408 crores in the slide. Perfect. Debt is zero, the deferred consideration is for the balance take acquisition.
Now, just to add, based on the modeling we have done with our cash flows, the internal accruals and cash flows that we generate would be more than adequate to buy off the residual stake when they fall due without resorting to any level of debt or any dilution in those vehicles.
I just hope, sir, that future acquisitions we will take into account what is the ROE which we are getting from the acquisitions and what is the debt rate which we are taking, because, I mean, at these astronomical debt rates.
I would have to request you to join the queue again, sir. We do have participants in the line. Thank you so much. Participants, please restrict your questions to one per participant. so we can ensure that the management can answer to your questions, right? The next question is from the line of Mr. Bunty from Inception Finance. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, everyone. First of all, congratulations to the entire management team. I think they've done a wonderful job. Actually, we can see the green shoots from the version 2 that we are embarking upon. Quick question from my side. Basically, would be good if we can get some numbers on how has been the July month in terms of commerce and non-commerce collections.
Mohsin, you want to share?
Yeah, I can share, sir. So we are able to collect 65 crores in the current July, where the 45 crores came from the non-commerce segment, 40 crores, and 25 crores came from the non-commerce. Without GSTs.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Sudarshan, an individual investor. Please go ahead, sir.
Sir, congrats for the good result. Regarding the recent dynamics in the overall industry, particularly you could see that upskilling has become a primary objective and also people shifting towards the government jobs. So with this recent change, are we re-strategizing in terms of our upskilling and also government test preparation and also into the new area geographies as well, and also re-strategizing get more students on board for this?
I think the government business has found favor with a specific category of people who value, long-term job commitment and who are fairly resilient to any changes in the environment. So, for instance, when COVID happened, I think our government test prep programs did extremely well because the government was the only one which did not do any retrenchment or salary reduction during the COVID period. So I think a segment of people look at the government test prep and government jobs as something that's very secure. That's continuing to do well. Of late, what we have seen possibly in the last 4 to 6 weeks is with the changes and the unease that AI and AI-related software is creating in the market, especially in the upskilling space, people are starting to look at the government job as fairly more secure with all the uncertainties that AI and its advancement is creating. So in that sense, we are starting to see some resurgence. It is showing in our Q2 numbers. Of course, it is also coinciding, as I mentioned earlier, with the notifications that have come. And so it is having a very significant impact. But clearly, like you mentioned, we think going forward, the government jobs will find a lot more takers because they see it as being secure from changes that especially AI-related advancements is bringing into the upskilling space. We are yet to see the end of it. I think it's an evolving thing. But the early indicators that we are seeing, we expect the government SR programs to start becoming and showing stronger revenues.
Thank you, so.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mr. Atharva Kulkarni from OHM Stockbrokers. Please go ahead, sir. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, so my question is, what are the new markets where you're seeing traction and what are the cost efficiency levers that gives you confidence towards your EBITDA margin improvement? So that is my question.
So, two or three things happening, very interesting things happening in our commerce vertical, apart from CA coaching, which has been our mainstay and a core product. We are seeing a significantly higher traction in global certifications like ACCA, CFA, CMA, etc. across the country. We had started and piloted that in a couple of regions. Now, as we roll it out nationally, that's seen a significant traction. Similarly, in our online commerce coaching business as well, a similar trend under the brand VB Virtual, we are seeing where all courses are seeing a fairly significant traction as we launch them across, as we launch them under the VB Virtual platform. And the non-commerce segment, you know, in test prep, in government test prep, we have launched Karnataka as a new market. As Suresh had mentioned earlier, we are fairly strong in Tamil Nadu and Kerala. The new geography we have launched is Karnataka. Early green shoots, but we are seeing some decent traction coming up from that market. Long way to go, but a decent start. In all other businesses like vocational business, the traction is coming from new products which have been introduced, new high-value products which have been introduced, which are online degrees, online certifications in the categories which are new. Since it's online business, it is pan-India and in fact global. We are seeing significant traction coming from the new product category. So to summarize, in commerce under global certification, in government test prep, green shoots in the new market, which is Karnataka. In vocational segment, predominantly new product categories, which are high ARPU categories, which are giving us a significant traction across the country.
Okay, thank you. Could I put in another question if that's possible?
Sorry, sir, we do have a participant in line.
Sure, understood.
Thank you. The last question is from the line of Mr. Henil Bagadia from Equicorp. Please go ahead, sir.
So thank you for the opportunity again. So I would just like to ask, so what is the capital expenditure that we do in terms of a content cost across all the four verticals? So as you alluded that you've entered into the new market in case of Karnataka for the government test prep business. So I mean, what part of the capex capital expenditure also goes into, say, entering into a new geography? Because I think so Karnataka government exams will be different and you would have to significantly build up on your existing content.
I can take that. So in the government test prep, apart from the language, the content is 75 to 80% the same, because that relates to the national history and the national geography. There is a state dependency on the curriculum and specifics on the state and the language, which is about 20%. Having said that, with the advancement, and as I mentioned, with the advancements one is seeing, translating into local languages is now lot faster with the AI tools that are already there, and the time to market can be very quick. So it is extremely cost efficient. It is extremely time efficient for us in terms of content into the new market. The type of monies that we spend on capex for content in the government test prep space is almost negligible, and all of it is charged to our P&L. There is no capitalization of content that we do in the government test prep space. As far as our commerce space is concerned, we currently have about 100 physical centers in over 40 cities in India. These are physical centers of Yekisha classes which exist. And in many of these cases, while we go into new cities, new locations to set up centers of learning, almost all of which are leased premises, the capex that we only do is in terms of tables, chairs, and possibly air conditioning in very, very few locations. So the capex cost is much less than 1 crore for a new location that we go into. Majority of it is all leased. Very, very few things except for a few pieces of furniture that we actually buy. Essentially, all of it is leased. So it is very capex-like when we set up new centers in the commerce vertical. Content creation in government vertical, very negligible. All of it is charged to our P&L. So as we go into Karnataka, like you mentioned, there is change in language. There is about 20-25% change in content. But with the new tools that are available, it's becoming extremely cost and time efficient. So little cost, all of it is charged to our P&L as far as content creation is concerned. I think it is also in some sense allowing us to expand a lot faster than what could have been possible, say, about a year and a half before. We are able to move much, much faster.
So what will be your projected expenditures for this year? And I mean, as you entered Karnataka last year, so any new geographies you plan to enter for any other vertical Or as you said, you are getting deep into the AI/ML part and the development part for the vocation. So for all the four verticals, if you could just give some more clarity there.
Moshe, what is the capital allocated for spending for expansion in commerce and non-commerce?
The commerce allocated 25 crores for the full year.
So just to expand on it, in the commerce space, significant monies are going actually into setting up new managed colleges. That's really where we are putting money. Typical cost is about 3 to 4 crores. Predominantly goes into security deposit, lease deposit, and then of course for furniture that we buy, air conditioning that we put in the new college locations that we set up. So roughly about 3 to 4 crores. The plan is to add 5 to 6 College of Commerce under the Tapasya brand during this year, and that's broadly the allocation that's being made in the commerce space. Mohsin, what's in the non-commerce space?
The non-commerce is very low, sir. It will be at 4 to 5 crores. Hello?
Yes, Hello? Sir, you are audible. Yes, sir, yeah. You are audible.
Yeah, it will be 5 to 6 crores, sir, I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
So the 5 to 6 crores, if you could give where you would be spending, sir, as you said, in the commerce vertical, it would be for new Tapasya centers.
It will be the vocational treatment, which will be the government express, getting into new brand colleges, Karnataka market, and going to other academy.
So typically, again, you know, we look for operational management of schools. So in any of these schools where we operationally take over, again, the premises are all leased. So again, lease deposit, security deposit, initial marketing, typically about 2 to 3 crores per operational school that we take over.
Okay. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you. I would now like to hand over the conference to the management for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. First, thank you for all for participating in this call, spending a good 1 hour on the call. For us, it has been a satisfying quarter, essentially because first, this is our second consecutive quarter of being PAT positive. I think clearly we are demonstrating with an EBITDA in excess of 50 crores for the quarter. We are clearly demonstrating that our projections as part of a Veranda 2.0 strategy that we sort of spoke about early part of this year is well on its way to being delivered. With the debt that we just closed, we expect our cost of money, interest cost, to significantly come down in the quarters coming ahead. As I mentioned, we closed the debt end of July, August 1st. So we suffered only 1 month of significant interest costs. That should go away in this quarter. So we expect Q2 on the back of that to be significantly far more PAT positive than Q1. Our Q2 targets should be well ahead of Q1, given that the interest burden is almost going away. For the full year, we expect, and our guidance is fairly intact, we expect to be able to reach an EBITDA well over 240 crores in the year's reported numbers, and an EBITDA of close to 200 crores for the full year. So for us, it's a satisfying quarter because it has clearly set the stage, both in terms of numbers, strategy, outcomes, in terms of where we want to be. So we are thrilled with the quarter, the way it has shaped up. We think we'll come back to you with a much stronger Q2 and a full year that you will start seeing taking shape when we announce numbers for the next quarter. Thank you once again for all of you for spending your valuable time with us on this call today. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. On behalf of Go India Advisors LLP, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.